1907 brings us to Timmuck Church, again in Stradbally Union. Stradbally Union's full of interesting buildings. Timmuck is so different from Lochcurran, the last one we were in. It's a rare example in the diocese of a Church of Ireland 18th century preaching house style church of the idiom of the time. Very simple in design, doesn't really have an east end in the sense of a sanctuary, but rather has what was often called a three-decker structure, where the communion table, the reading desk for the service, and the pulpit for preaching were all placed together at the front of the church, but each at a different level, rising vertically. So we remember all who find their focus of worship to be in that particular and distinctive place, which is well worth a visit. 1907 brings a very significant but a difficult and sensitive memory, I must say. It was the year of the papal decree Ne Temere regarding the papal view of the discipline that should surround members of the Roman Catholic Church who entered into what were then so often, and it was became an unfortunate term known as mixed marriages. And essentially what the decree prescribed was that for a marriage to be recognised by the Roman Catholic Church, it had of course to be before a priest, and the so-called non-Catholic partner had to give a written undertaking that any children of the marriage would be permitted to be brought up within the Roman Catholic tradition and faith. Before that, often there was a tradition in Ireland that boys went with the father and girls with the mother. And strange as to some that seems, it hasn't entirely gone away. And one might say it's fair and it often remarkably works. But anyway, Ne Temere put the minority in a very difficult situation and indeed rather ghettoised it. I remember when I was a child, there were notices in the porches of Church of Ireland churches, even in urban environments, suburban environments, reminding members of the Church of Ireland of the supposed dangers of contracting marriages with members of the majority church. And sometimes when such marriages did take place, there would be sort of furtive whispering surrounding the Church of Ireland partner on the lines of, did he sign? It was all very unfortunate and divisive, especially when land was involved, a hindrance to ecumenical understanding, and it led to practical bitter fruit like the Featherdun Sea boycott. But now, post-Vatican II, happily, things are so different. The so-called non-Catholic party is asked for no undertaking, and anything asked, or rather expected, by their own church of the Roman Catholic partner is the same as what they would be asked concerning their responsibility to uphold their faith if they were marrying a member of their own denomination. All is placed within the greater good of upholding the unity of the marriage, and frankly, couples now make their own decisions, and churches support and respect them in this, recognising that to make a Christian commitment at all in these secular times in the context of the upbringing of children is something to be encouraged rather than to be something contentious. This full mutual recognition of baptism and attendance at each other's baptismal services is commonplace. Interchurch families can at their best be microcosms of healthy ecumenical relationships and conversations. They can teach us what we all should be talking about and how we all should know more about the everyday routine worshipping life of the other, rather than confining our knowledge of what other people do to what one might call special occasions. So much has changed. So much has changed for the better. Unlike the early days, even of my own ministry, it's now years since I've had to intervene to sort out a vexatious interchurch prenuptial situation, and thank goodness for that. Ne Temere is as good as dead, and more power to couples who aren't going to be intimidated by, frankly, bishops of any sort.